The words of the Lord given us today are Luke 24, verses 28 to 35. Luke chapter 24, lines 28 to 35. I will recite the lines. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told that what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Amen. Next Sunday, there'll be a congregational meeting vote for the approval of the 2023 fiscal year financial report. In March, there was a congregational meeting vote to pass the revised bylaws. One of the newly added contents in the revised bylaws is the approval of the fiscal year financial report. Many churches struggle to operate properly and correctly. Among them are a significant number of churches create bylaws and operate according to those bylaws. I have seen and heard many times about churches reporting their income settlement report and expenditure settlement report once a year for the offerings received and used during the year. However, I have never seen or heard of voting in a congregational meeting for the approval of the fiscal year financial report. Actually, it is much more convenient not to have this process. Even without going through this process, our church handles income and expenditures very transparently. I have not seen a church that goes through a more transparent process regarding income and expenditures than that of our church. Including the annual financial report as a congregational meeting resolution item, even though it was not previously included when revising the bylaws, is a belief that we will use the offerings more properly and correctly by receiving legal approval from the church members of our church's financial report contents. Moreover, through this process, we are reporting to God that our church's financial transparency has been raised to a higher level. Increasing the transparency of church finances is one of the very important tasks that the Korean church should aim for, and I believe this is paving the way for the financial sector toward the 200th anniversary of the Korean church. I heard that church members have two questions regarding the approval of the fiscal year financial report. The first is, since our church distributes monthly financial reports to church members, do we need to hold a congregational meeting vote for the approval of the fiscal year financial report? While distributing monthly financial reports is an announcement, the congregational meeting vote for the fiscal year financial report is an approval. Announcement and approval do not have the same meaning. If announcement is like an obligation that the church must fulfill to the church members, approval is like a responsibility that church members must fulfill to the church. The second question is that the 2023 fiscal year financial report summary is in a professional format, making it difficult to read. In accounting, recording the flow of transactions is called bookkeeping. There are single-entry bookkeeping and double-entry bookkeeping. Single-entry bookkeeping is a one-line summary of cash inflows and outflows, with typical examples being household account books and allowance ledgers. Double-entry bookkeeping means recording entries divided into debit and credit. General company accounts are organized using double-entry bookkeeping. For example, even if 1 million won was spent in the same way, purchasing a refrigerator with that money and spending it on a family dining out do not have the same meaning. The purchased refrigerator remains as a household asset, but the dining out expense does not remain as an asset. Also, if 1 million won was generated in the same way, receiving it as a salary and borrowing it from a bank do not have the same meaning. In our church, we organize bookkeeping using double-entry bookkeeping, but the monthly financial reports distributed to you are reorganized in a single-entry bookkeeping format so that church members can easily understand them. If we are going to receive legal approval from church members through the congregational meeting, we think it is right to do so based on the double-entry bookkeeping used in corporate accounting every year. This is so that the church can accurately identify cash and non-cash assets such as real estate, vehicles, etc. Therefore, the congregational meeting vote for the approval of the fiscal year financial report can be said to be about whatever you agree or not with the monthly financial reports received over the past year. Thus, the congregational meeting vote, which will be a new step toward the 200th anniversary of the Korean Church, cannot help but be a heartfelt event. The prophet Jeremiah ministered for about 40 years, specifically from the time of King Josiah to the last king, Zedekiah, among the five kings of southern Judah, and then ministered for about 10 more years. When Judah was destroyed by the Babylonian Empire, he witnessed the tragic scene of King Zedekiah's eyes being gouged out and being bound in chains, being dragged to Babylon along with many people. Furthermore, he saw priests being killed in the temple, and even women boiling their own children to eat because they had no food. Even in such a miserable situation, he who had to deliver the word of God could only weep before God. Thus, he is called the weeping prophet. The prophet Jeremiah expresses his frustrating feelings of being rejected and slandered even when delivering the word of God as follows. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 14 to 16. Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, a child is born to you, a son. May that man be like the towns of the Lord overthrew without pity. May he hear wailing in the morning, a battle cry at noon. The prophet Jeremiah says it would have been better if he had not been born into the world, but rather died as a miscarriage. He curses the person who informed his father over his birth. In Israelite society at that time, having a son was considered a blessing given by God. The person who delivered the news of having a son also played the role of a messenger of God's blessing with joy. However, here he is cursing that person. The curse on the person who delivered the news of having a son does not end there, but he wishes that person would become like the cities Sodom and Gomorrah that God overthrew and did not regret. In other words, just as Sodom and Gomorrah became ashes when fire and brimstone descended from heaven, he wishes that the person who delivered the news of his birth would be struck by lightning. This does not mean he literally desires that person to become like that, but rather expresses how painful and difficult his situation is. The reason that Prophet Jeremiah makes such a heartfelt confession was as follows. Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 7. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. You persuaded me, Lord, and I have been persuaded. In our language gives the impression that God is persuading Jeremiah, saying, Jeremiah, would you like to do the work of a prophet? And Jeremiah is answering, yes. But translated according to the meaning of the original text, it goes like this, O Lord, you have deceived me, so I have been deceived. There is a pill called sugar-coated tablet. When a medicine is very bitter or has an unusual taste or smell, making it difficult to take, it is a tablet that has a sweet taste applied to its surface to prevent the deterioration of the drug. Jeremiah's words are as if God gave him a larger sugar-coated tablet, saying, this is a sweet-tasting medicine. It tastes sweet inside too. It's almost the same as candy or chocolate. When asked, isn't this not sweet but bitter? God says, no, try eating it. So he took it and ate it. But while it tasted slightly sweet, it was extremely bitter. He wanted to spit it out, but God told him to swallow it. So he did. But it continues to be bitter inside. But God tells him that it is beneficial for him and for all people, and just stares at him blankly. Jeremiah says that he was persuaded, deceived by God to minister, but what he receives in return is being mocked all day long. The next was deliver what caused people to mock him. Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 8. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. What Jeremiah delivered to the people of Judah was the destruction and ruin of the nation. He conveyed that southern Judah would be destroyed by the Babylonian Empire, and many people would be taken captive and have to serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Even if they did not serve the king of Babylon, they would perish from famine and plagues. The prophet Jeremiah, who delivered such messages, was regarded as a traitor, received death threats, was beaten, and imprisoned. A prophet named Hananiah said, God will break the yoke of the king of Babylon and restore the temple vessels and captives in 2 years. It is obvious that the people of Judah would have listened to Hananiah's words that they would return in 2 years rather than Jeremiah's words that they would return after 70 years. But Hananiah was a false prophet, and Jeremiah was God's prophet. Whenever the prophet Jeremiah delivered the word, he suffered disgrace and insults. But he could not help but deliver the word he received from God. His state of mind was as follows. Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 9. But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is like in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. The prophet Jeremiah's heartbreaking situation touches the heart deeply. If he delivers the word of God, they do not listen and even rush to kill him. And if he does not deliver, his heart feels like it's burning and he cannot bear it. It must have been indescribably difficult for him to testify of God's word to those who threatened him and sought his life. And when he tried to give up, the thought that he should not give up would arise like a fire, so he could only weep before God. The meaning of the name Jeremiah is Jehovah has thrown, or Jehovah has established. He was a person thrown by God to the perishing people of Judah. He was also a person raised up by God to give hope to the perishing people of Judah. He was able to fulfill that role properly and correctly because he had the word given to him by God. That word established Jeremiah as a prophet of God. The word of God makes our hearts burn, and it renews our faith and life. Today's text also testifies about an incident where the Lord's word made hearts burn. As Jesus said, he rose again on the third day after his burial. Cleopas and other persons regarded Jesus as one who was powerful in word and deed, and as the one who would redeem Israel, deliver them from the oppression of the Roman Empire. But when the situation did not unfold as they thought, they headed to a village of Emmaus. However, on that road, the risen Jesus accompanied them, but they never even dreamed that the one walking with them could be Jesus. Finally, they arrived at the village called Emmaus. Verses 28 to 29 is as follows. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. So it's like when you take a pet dog for a walk and wander around for a while and then arrive in front of your house and need to go inside, but the owner doesn't go into the house and tries to pass by. So the two people made a request to Jesus. It is almost evening and the day is already over. So please stay here with us tonight. Then Jesus went into the house to stay with them. The scene is similar to that of Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with them, and he with me. Verse 30 is as follows. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. It is said that the four verbs take, bless, break, and give in this verse are the same verbs used when Jesus fed 5,000 people to their fill with five loaves of bread and two fish, excluding women and children, and when he had the Last Supper with his disciples on this earth. However, the most puzzling part of the scene is that Jesus was neither the owner of this house, nor had he borrowed this place to invite people, yet he took the lead in taking the bread, blessing it, breaking it, and giving it. In those days, the head of the household performed that role. We cannot know the exact reason why Jesus performed that role in someone else's house. However, it seems that as the two were walking along the road, they felt something different about the words they heard, and they requested the stranger to stay the night and asked him to break the bread, give thanks, and distribute it. When the two people received the bread from Jesus, two mysterious things happened. Verse 31. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. First, the eyes of the people were opened. Eyes being opened means eyes being enlightened. The two people were not previously blind and unable to see ahead. Nevertheless, the fact that their eyes were opened emphasizes that they were in spiritual ignorance and then received enlightenment from it. Even while conversing with the one accompanying them, they never dreamed that he could be the risen Jesus. It wasn't the first time they had seen Jesus during the day. When Jesus was living his public life, they followed him, heard his words, and saw the amazing things he did. Still, they did not recognize that it was Jesus. It's like being in a room with no windows on and the door closed so that no light comes in at all. Even if your vision is 1.5, 2.0, or even 20.0, you can't see anything. But when the door is opened and light comes in, what is in that space becomes very clear to the eyes. When Jesus broke the bread and gave it to them, the door that had been blocking their eyes was opened. Second, Jesus disappeared and became invisible. When the eyes of the two were covered, Jesus, who had been there, disappeared and became invisible the moment their eyes were opened. The fact that Jesus suddenly disappeared like this emphasizes that the risen Jesus is now not bound by the constraints of time and space. So we encounter the risen Jesus as a vivid, living experience, not as a limited being that is only visually seen, but as a new being that transcends it. Also, our encounter with the risen Jesus does not take on a single appearance or a fixed form, but takes on various appearances and various forms. As Cleopas and his companion experienced, It can take the form of a meeting a stranger on the road, or as Jesus said, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. It can take the form of meeting a small and insignificant person. It can also take the form of a spiritual encounter, as Stephen confessed while being martyred by stoning, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. When the disciples walked with Jesus in the flesh, they were truly pathetic, powerless, and as worldly as could be. But when they saw Jesus who was with them in spirit, and were convinced that the Lord was walking with them, they proclaimed the kingdom of God, lived by faith, and lived with eternity as their purpose. So the record of their lives became the Acts of the Apostles. In this way, it is important to see the Lord who is with us in spirit and to be convinced of the Lord's presence with us. Cleopas and the other person, after confirming that the one who walked with them and broke bread for them was none other than the risen Jesus Christ, said this. Verse 32. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? In front of burning, there is a small number 2. And below it, it says, burn, kaio. The literal meaning of the Greek word kaio, corresponding to hot, is burn. In the Bible, apart from this passage, kaio is used to mean light a lamp or burn out. In the west of New York, USA, there is a state called Pennsylvania. In that state, there is Columbia County, and there is a coal mining town called Centralia. A large amount of coal was buried there, so a mining town was formed for coal mining. In the late 19th century, Centralia had a population of over 2,700, with 5 hotels, 7 churches, 27 bars, 2 theaters, as well as banks and post offices, making it a relatively prosperous town. In 1962, there was a fire. Employees of an incineration company hired by the local government set fire to the garbage at the landfill to incinerate it, let it burn to a certain extent, and then put out the fire. However, embers remained, and those embers spread to the coal in the abandoned mine pit, and then to the coal buried underground. The state of Pennsylvania made 2 all-out efforts to extinguish the fire, but failed. And then they gave up. The fire did not go out and continued to burn, and in the 1980s, when it began to emit toxic gases, the federal government began to relocate people. The roads connecting to the town were cut off, and the asphalt roads were melted in many places due to the underground flames, making it difficult to even approach. In 1981, more than 1,000 people lived in the town. But in 2005, the number had decreased to 12, and by 2007, it was 9. Since 2013, officially, the population has been 0. And it has become a town where no one lives. It's now called a ghost town. It's been over 60 years since the fire started in that village, but the fire is still burning. And according to scientists, it will take another 250 years for all the coal buried underground in Centralia to burn. Even if it's the same fire, the fire outside the furnace and the fire inside are very different. The fire outside the furnace, the uncontrolled fire, becomes a weapon. Like the Centralia fire, it can lead to the closure of a town. Or like a large wildfire, it burns vast forests and houses and takes people's lives, leaving behind the victims. The fire outside the furnace in our lives is like pursuing a life that only seeks to fulfill our desires and focuses solely on secular values. However, the fire inside the furnace warms the room and provides people with a comfortable place to sleep. And that fire allows food to be cooked, nourishes human life with that food, and enriches fellowship. The fire inside the furnace in our lives is without a doubt the word of the Lord. When the two people heard the words of Jesus, they felt their souls becoming warming up like a fire inside a furnace warming a room. And they walked with an indescribably deep impression. When the words opened in verse 31 and explained in verse 32 are the same word meaning to open and to make understand. In other words, when the two people heard the words of the Bible from Jesus, their eyes of the heart were opened and they had a deep realization within them. Therefore, you should focus on worshiping on Sundays and listening to the word in worship. This is because it is related to our spiritual life. If you're unable to attend worship or hear the word on Sundays due to other matters, you should focus on worshiping and listening to the word through the website or YouTube. If you attended the service but were unable to focus on the word due to other matters or thoughts, I recommend that you watch and listen to it again later. When we hear and consume the word of God, that word being life itself works within us. The word of God is not a tool for a hobby or a comfort that you look at or listen to once in a while when you're afraid and anxious. In a world where target values and secular values are prevalent, it is the way of life that enables us to live as the Lord's disciples and as people of the kingdom of God, and it is the Lord's breath that makes us mature. Let us open our windows and bend our knees before the eternal word of God. Then even though we may be insignificant beings, God's words will bring and make our hearts even hotter and make us more and more mature. Therefore, because of the word of God, we will become Jeremiahs who proclaim the will of God in this age, and we will become disciples who renew the world with the word of God like the Lord's disciples. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the prophet Jeremiah was called to be a prophet before he was born, but the message he had to deliver was bitter, that the nation would perish and have to serve the king of a foreign land. Even though he delivered the word of God, people did not want to listen, but rather listen to the words of false prophets as the word of God. Nevertheless, the reason he was able to remain a channel of God's word to the end was because of the word that God had given him, and if he did not proclaim that word, it felt like his heart was on fire, and it was so suffocating in his bones that he could not bear it. We pray that each of us will also be a channel to reveal that the Lord's word is truth in our place of life. Cleopas and the other person, after receiving the bread broken by the risen Lord and having their eyes opened, realized why their hearts had become burning because of the one who had walked with them when they came to Emmaus. It was because the Lord has explained the scriptures to them. We pray that you will enable us to overcome secular values, walk the path of life, and entrust ourselves to the Lord's words that makes us mature. Make our hearts even hotter than with the Lord's word, so that we may all live as people of the Lord's word. Heavenly Father, next week, there will be the 2023 Congregational Meeting vote for the approval of the Fiscal Year Financial Report. May this work make our church even more righteous and properly nurtured before God. May our church give offerings properly and use them properly to become a useful channel for the Lord. Also, may this process pave the way for the financial sector toward the 200th anniversary of the Korean Church. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.